This UFC 300 picks edition of the Sports Gambling Podcast is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, golf, MLB, NHL, and more. Sign up today using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. We're also brought to you by the premier arbitrage sports betting tool, Avo. Use their tool to bet both sides and lock in a profit. Access their platform for free at arbsversusodds.com. That's arbsvsodds.com. Plus, in honor of Masters Week, the Golf Gambling Podcast guys are giving away a tailor-made SpiderX putter for free. Enter at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/masters.
This is Randy Cross. You're listening to SGPN. Let it ride.
The Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean, sagging the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kram?
Dog.
I just realized I'm wearing the same thing I was wearing on San Diego Tuesday road trip.
Oh yeah. So hung out with the circuit guys down there. A lot of fun.
Movie magic failed.
Ryan, we got a nice show for you, talking UFC 300 picks with Gumby of Reland here in just a little bit, but we got a lot to get to. Of course, Masters already live and well, and still a chance to enter in the sportsgamblingpodcast.com/masters. Get that tailor-made SpiderX putter for free. So get in over there. Still got a chance to do that. And since they stopped the play because of darkness, I was doing the math, and Bubba Watson still has a chance to get first round leader. Right now, he needs a hole in one on the last three holes to tie Bryson DeChambeau.
I believe
in Bubba Watson.
He was always the one for the creative shot making. Maybe you can
look out. Bubba's about to get hot.
Whip that pink driver out and pull a hard hook around the lake. I don't know.
Patreon pick'em prize. Andy Tallman won the custom pair of sweats. And this week's prize, we're going to be having the pick'em centered around UFC 300. And in honor of UFC 300, the Patreon pick'em prize this week, $300 SGPN gift card. Which is pretty awesome. I don't know if you saw the news.
You're going to say they can fight you.
Oh yeah. Well, come on. That's not a prize. That's a punishment.
Is it?
I would kick. There's some of our listeners. I don't know if I would kick their ass, but I feel like I got a lot of heart. We'll see.
You got to hope they're not younger, taller. You got to worry about the reach. I would say that would be my take on the
how
the
dare you. Rod.
If you could get him to the ground, all you know, who knows? But
no. I mean, I have unmatched heart, and that would be my edge. I don't know if you saw, but Dana White up the fight bonuses up to $300,000. So that's kind of cool, and we're doing the same. Some are calling this a life changing gift card, much like the $300,000 life changing bonuses over UFC 300.
He's had a couple good nights with that that gambling Twitch streamer guy that he hangs out with all the time. He has such an interesting life.
The fact that he just loves high stakes blackjack.
We're gonna have to talk to Gumby later about this.
Tag Dana White. Tell him to come on the show. I know he stormed off Howie Mandel's podcast, but I think you would enjoy our podcast.
Said he was over podcast.
Yeah.
So
come on, we're just gonna do high stakes blackjack talk and a little MMA chat. But Ryan, and before we get to Gumby, we have to talk about, of course, news of Ipe, AKA Shohei's interpreter. Now, like, the whole transcript, the formal complaint had been released, including, this is my favorite part of these betting scandals, is you actually get to see the breakdown of the bets. Now, this is from December 2021 to January 2024. Total bets he made, Ipe, 19,000 bets. Total bets. So that's 25 bets a day, every single day. Average bet, his average wager, 12,800. Biggest bet, 160,000. Smallest bet $10, which like what kind of crazy same game parlay?
You're thinking about this the wrong way. Balance almost at zero. Might as well just, you know,
he had $10 left in credit and put together some sort of crazy ass parlay.
Not to say I know a lot about this world, but finding a place that offers a low $10 minimum is actually just as difficult as finding someone who will give you hundreds of millions of dollars in credit. I would say both ends of this spectrum make this story even more unbelievable.
So now his net losses totaled to $40.68 million. And he's being charged with stealing essentially $16 million out of Shohei's account. I haven't heard anywhere else where the other $24 million came from. Maybe the bookies never collected that. It's interesting too. And there was like there were some text exchanges, which were very funny. Like ePay trying to figure out a PayPal, different wiring options to get these guys this money. And I would say if you actually read through the entire transcript, I'm still super skeptical, but reading through the entire thing, it certainly helps Ohtani's case that he wasn't aware of it. And we'll see what this guy actually gets sentenced to, because if he was betting for Ohtani, he must be the best friend if he's just going to keep quiet the entire time. But something doesn't make sense too. I think there's a world where maybe the bookie thought he was betting for Ohtani, because they walk you through. Apparently, when Ohtani signed up for this bank account, ePay, the interpreter, was there, walked him through it, and then at some point, ePay changed the contact info on the contact info to his phone number, his burner email, and even like the bank called and walked through these wire things, and he pretended to be Shohei on the phone. So I don't, and they claim to have recordings of him pretending to be Shohei on this. That all that being said, how does Ohtani not notice all this money going out of an account that was supposedly just his paychecks from the Angels? That I think we still haven't gotten a good answer from.
And the layer on top is this is someone who's crafty enough to evade taxes in the state of California by deferring their salary. So you don't think he's noticing? It just
over a 3 year span, no one is looking at his books. I mean, he should fire. Sure, you fire the interpreter who stole the money, but are you not firing your accountant, your money manager, your tax guy? How does the tax guy? I mean, you know, I forget a Starbucks receipt. The fucking tax guy's up my ass going, wait, I don't know. Something's not adding up. $6 here on craft service expenditures. How would the tax guy who's preparing Ohtani's taxes, to your point, Ryan, that's a great point, because they figured out this crazy tax deferral thing. You would imagine they're looking at his taxes, money in, money out. No one goes, hey, by the way, what's all this wiring to this random account?
I think 100% the bookie thought this was Ohtani.
Yes. Oh, 100%. Because you read the text messages and he goes, don't worry, ePay, I know you're good for 500, which I would not say that to some random interpreter, dude, unless I thought it was the money. And he also texts back ePay. He goes, I know you weren't stealing the money. I know you just had to be the fall guy. And then he wrote back, technically I was stealing. Why did he say technically? There's more questions than answers with this report. But I would say reading through the entire thing, it does make Ohtani look a little bit better, but still so many fucking questions.
I mean, if he was really good at his job, the translator.
Yeah.
He would make sure that he was insulating his client from any guilt.
Hmm.
And that this is how you would do it. This is also how you would create an easy trail for a patsy. Because again, everything circles back to the money.
But like him changing the contact info, and then they have recordings of him pretending to be Ohtani for the bank wiring. That to me is, if Ohtani was telling him to pretend to be him, I don't know,
but there's probably not fishy at all. Absolutely. He would be like, yeah, whatever. If these guys are buddies, it's like, yeah, go whatever. Make the, you know,
yeah. Maybe there was like an understanding of like, hey, you can use some of this money for gambling. And then he went over that limit. There's gotta be a gray area. Yeah,
here's my thing. When you put something in a court document format or the complaint for whatever the legal format is, people, you have zero question of what you're reading.
Yeah.
Where did this, did Ohtani's people just hand them all this evidence? Was there actually an invest? Like the source of the information becomes the first thing I would be like, all right, so if someone's trying to build a case for this to look more like, all right, so first wave, public reaction. Oh, they're not buying the story. We need to go a little harder. All right, let's create a let's create some actual physical quote unquote evidence to make it look like this guy was acting in a, as a rogue agent. There's a 0% chance that he was doing this without Ohtani knowing. That that's just Ohtani is on a, another level of stupid and has horrible people all around him.
Which doesn't seem to be the case. The taxes thing is to me the craziest. All right, Ryan, we are here to talk some U.S.
Yeah, did he claim gambling losses like that? Like, I want to know if like where did this money get put on the negative? Well, obviously, but where did it get put on the loss? Because rich people do not lose money and not get credit for it on taxes.
Yeah, someone who did his taxes looked at that account.
But that's my point. What where was the money written off?
Yeah, that we need to
that
know.
Will solve the case. Again, we've watched a lot of forensic files. We're not actual professionals, but feel like we could be doing a better job. Give me the evidence. I'll get to the bottom of this. Also, last thing I'll say, I'm always skeptical when they say you could tie an IP to someone 3 years ago. That's bullshit. Like when you say stuff like that, it makes me believe there's some bullshit because the average person will be like, oh yeah, IP address. Okay. 3 years ago. Really?
And Ryan,
you know what IPv6 is? Come on.
One poor piece of news. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about star NFL athlete, collegiate star, movie star, fantasy football analyst O.J. Simpson passed away. No. You were gonna do you wanted to do a touching tribute, Ryan.
I mean, I will say if for those who are fans of Norm Macdonald, this event has surfaced a basically an 11-minute montage of Norm making fun of OJ. I didn't actually know how much it impacted his job at SNL and all that other random shit.
Don Oppenheimer was the NBC executive who was in charge of everything, and he was good friends with OJ. And if you remember, like early on, OJ had like a decent amount of support until like the court, until the case really started rolling, and people didn't really were skeptical of DNA. They didn't want to believe that this guy actually killed his wife.
I listened to a podcast about the case, and the thing that comes through most overwhelmingly is like probably was involved, but also the level of charisma that OJ Simpson has is like beyond presidential. Anyone who met OJ liked OJ.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. My only thoughts on OJ is I wonder if they've filled his spot in that fantasy football league he's been participating in.
His friends were at the bar he hung out at in Summerlin. They were like drinking in his honor.
Why are people offended like by people reporting the news about OJ Simpson and mentioning the things that happened in his life? He has a crazy life. He has like his biography is like 10 times as long as the average person because he's done extraordinary things, both good and bad. Like he's both rushed for 2,000 yards in an NFL season and also committed double homicide, allegedly starred in like major box office movies and then was arrested for stealing his merchandise back from a dealer.
Yeah, I mean, crazy.
Like, what the fuck? Crazy. You wouldn't believe the movie if we made the movie about OJ. Yeah, maybe you would.
I mean, the FX series, very good. The documentary or whatever it was, the 30 for 30, also very good. But
were you ever in the same room as OJ?
Me? No.
Just sometimes people like Magic Johnson. If you've ever been in the same room as Magic, like there is an athlete charisma there that's like it's astounding. And I could the thing about like people wanting to just hang out with OJ, like grown
Ryan. It sounds like Ryan wants to hang out with OJ.
No. I just it's always shocking when that bleeds through a story about a guy who killed two people brutally. They're like, yeah, but he's a really nice guy, real fun to be around. What?
All right, enough OJ talk. We're here to talk a little UFC 300. Before we do that, shout out to AVO, the premier sports betting arbitrage tool. If you're new to arbitrage sports betting, very simple. Basically, you're betting both sides of a bet at two different sports books to lock in a profit. The AVO tool scans the sports books looking for discrepancies in the odds and tells you how much money you need to place with each sports book and the expected profit. So very easy. It's like, hey, plus 104 here, minus 105 here. Okay, put 600 here, 735 here, or $60 and $73. Here's the expected profit you can expect to lock in if you get both these bets in. And what's cool about it is how fast it is. If you fire it up, and again, completely free. They're beta testing it. They need some hardcore degens. Our audience is perfect for it. Again, super easy. The speed is what's cool about it, because you'll just have the window open. You'll see these opportunities refresh, and obviously the bigger arbitrage, like the higher percentage hold on both sides that you're getting, those pop up to the top. They even have live in-game arbitrage opportunities. Again, highly recommend it. It's free. Why not check it out? The best part is Avo is currently free to use without restrictions. That's right, free. Get started today at arbsversusodds.com. That's ARBS versus VS odds, ODDS.com. So check them out today.
You can lock in the nice little 35-cent profit on the dollar right now. A little live Pelicans Kings action.
Hmm. Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, especially the live stuff, because that fluctuates so much. A bunch of good opportunities. Joining us on the line, co-host of the MMA Gambling Podcast, Mr. Daniel Vreeland, a.k.a. Gumby God himself. What's happening, Gumby?
Not much, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, appreciate you coming on.
Well, we were talking a little before the show about the gambling stuff, and Dan's eyes lit up. Like, yes, it is one of those things. Like, I think the outside world is enamored by it because it's like, ooh, gambling. I think people who actually gamble are what the fuck?
The people that are in the gambling streets want to know the nuts and bolts. It's like, how did he get him all that money? What was, I want to know how much free play this guy got. Cause if you're down this much, and I think he did get some free credits, that we should do like a reenactment, Ryan, and just read off the text. Cause some of them are pretty funny.
Oh, that's a great idea. We'll do a reading.
Yeah. A little, a live reading. Oh, maybe that could be a Patreon. That would be pretty fun. But yeah, Gumby, you're sharing our skepticism. Although again, reading the whole thing, I don't know if I believe Otani, but certainly reading the whole thing makes him look slightly better, I would say, but there's still just so many big pieces of information that we don't know yet. That's highly questionable.
I'm a big baseball guy, so like this story is like right up my alley in the first place. But I'm with Brian on this one. I can't imagine Shohei Ohtani doesn't know $50 million are gone.
Yeah.
You know, like, and maybe he's only reporting 16 are gone. But like, I don't know. I notice when a 20 is missing out of my wallet, and like, he's got a little bit more money than me, I think.
Yeah.
But like at the end of the day, everybody notices $16 million gone. Yes. I think. I can't imagine he has no idea.
It also just highlights to you like how much time downtime baseball players have. It's just like, what are we betting on today, but fellas?
Especially pitchers, they're lazy.
Well, also too, it was really funny. He's like, man, this international soccer is going 24/7. I'm down huge, LOL.
It just reminds me.
I'm really bad at gambling.
It reminds me of interactions I feel like I've had over the years in terms of just people who are just, oh, this is, I'm not winning, but I'm having so much fun. Late night tennis texts.
It sounds like what your Slack channel sounded like during the pandemic. People betting on Russian badminton and like Scandinavian table tennis and stuff like that. Like that, he had to been in on some of that. Like, right? Like he had to been in on some badminton action.
I hate to say it, Sean, but I definitely feel like I've crossed paths with a guy like Ipe before.
Oh yes. Well, and speaking of that, Jong, super fan listener of our show and a bunch of MMA shows, tennis. He has never met a bet he didn't like. Just a guy who loves action. Shout out to you, John.
My first thought was,
he texted me today. He's like, are you guys doing a UFC 300 episode? And I go, yeah, we're bringing on Gumby from the MMA Gambling Podcast. And of course, if you haven't already subscribed to the MMA Gambling Podcast, Gumby and Jeff Fox do a great job breaking it all down. Not only UFC, you hit on some of the other leagues, but full analysis, the card,
the division two of fighting.
Yeah,
D3, NAIA,
a little bit of everything. So again, if you're betting MMA, you got to subscribe to their show for sure.
I have a feel. Any chance Jong is on a group text with Ipe? Probably, right?
I mean, they're both guys who have hung out in Southern California, both insatiable love of getting down on action. So they have some things in common.
We'll have to see if Ipe was big on the Riverside Anteaters.
Right.
Or the Irvine Anteaters.
There's like a 10% chance Ipe's in our Discord. I think if we can look through, if we're able to track down an Ipe email address, I would say 20% chance he's on the mailing list. Because how could you bet that much and not stumble upon our website at some point? So shout out to you, Ipe. We're rooting for you. Hopefully you're back out sweating parlay sooner rather than later.
We got internet on the inside.
Yeah,
we'll figure it out.
I mean, again, he found a way. He was getting down in Japan.
Where'd the 24 million go? It's crypto, bro. it's off the grid.
follow the money there. All right, so we're talking UFC 300. Thought it'd be great to get you back on UFC 300. Big picture, like what is the extravaganza? I mentioned to Ryan that we're giving away a $300 gift card now over on the Patreon Pick'em. I saw Dana amped it up of the fighter bonuses. What are they doing to try to make UFC 300 a kind of a bigger event?
So like with all the other big events they've ever done, like UFC 100 and UFC 200, they've always got some like massive headliner, right? Like Brock Lesnar main evented UFC 100, and they brought back Brock Lesnar again for UFC 200. And then also Anderson Silva was there. And like, you know, like they just like, they love jacking up like big headliners. And I think they like kind of screwed the pooch on this one because they didn't have a big headliner. Like the guys we're going to talk about next, they're good, but like, they're not Brock Lesnar. They're not a guy with like bulging muscles out of the sides of his neck who is on the WWE for a while. Right. Like that's what we love. Right. Like we love freaks. And we want the freaks, and there isn't a freak this time. And that's kind of a bummer. But what they did instead, I think, is he's trying to add the pageantry, right? Like that's why he's got the big bonuses. His first prelim of the night, he's got two guys who used to be champions fighting each other. Like he's just decided like he's going to roll out all the stops to make like start to finish really exciting rather than just the big one at the top, which I think is like, you know, there's merit to that too, especially if you can't find, as I said, a freak show like Brock Lesnar, which only rolls around once in a while.
Yeah, no, it did seem like their planning almost was, hey, it's UFC 300. People are going to tune in because it's 300 and almost like sat back on their laurels a little bit as far as who they were getting here for the fight. But either way, I think it's a fun time. Check in, get in. And to your point, there are some good fights, even though maybe not the biggest names. Let's just start with the main event for UFC 300. Alex Pereira versus Jamahal Hill. What do you like in this event?
Real quick note, in the future for Gumby, you don't have to assist Sean on pronunciations.
Yes, I love the fact that you included the pronunciation.
The amount of people who have said Jamahal to me, because the name is wild looking. Like there's no need for an H there. You know, like, there's no need for an H there. And I've podcasted with like MMA writers who call him Jamahal Hill.
Oh no.
And it's like, I felt wrong to send you guys a lineup without.
It's okay. Sean making a mistake is always okay.
Me looking like an asshole is always good for the show. Hill, this looks like a pretty even fight. At least according to the betting odds I'm seeing right now, Hill +110, Pereira -130. What do you like here? Any value? What are your thoughts coming into this big event?
I think all the value's on Pereira. Like I can't believe that this dude is only like a -125, -130 favorite. Jamahal Hill is coming off of having like grotesque knee surgery, and they said they medically cleared him in the beginning of February. So this dude has been cleared for like a month and a half, 2 months, and somehow had to fit a fight camp in there. For me, that's a huge red flag. And then he was like, I'm going to go knock this guy out. And he's been knocked out only ever by kickboxers. And now he's going to, I mean, like, no offense, Jamahal Hill was on your little title slide. Jamahal Hill is not like a fit man. He's not going to go in there and kickbox against like, you know, and I love the Mickey Mouse tattoos he's got on his shoulders. Like those things rule. I mean, it looks like Mickey Mouse hands. I don't think they're supposed to be, but that's what they look like.
They're like the knockoff like, Mickey Mouse.
Exactly. You got to pay Disney for that.
Yeah. And he wanted to stay away from Disney. I get that. So, at the end of the day, though, like he says he's going to go kickbox a kickboxer, and like he's not a kickboxer. And why would you ever trust a guy coming off of knee surgery to win a kickboxing match?
Kickboxing, against a guy especially, who's a
world-class kickboxer. Yeah, in a world-class kickboxer, that guy rips people's legs. So, like, I mean, like, when I saw the match got made, I was like, oh, crap, you know, like, Paeta will be, like, negative 250, negative 275, and I won't be able to find even a KO prop that I like. And instead, he's, like, negative 125, negative 130, and, like, the KO prop is almost not even worth it at this point. It's, like, plus 110. Like, it seems like the books even know he's going to knock him out, but somehow it hasn't affected the money line at all.
First of all, this sounds like we should be. I just ran to my local establishment to see what $30,000 limit. Which is slightly larger than the UFL limits I've been given. But also just an absolute I know ball schooling by Gumby on the pronunciations.
Here. The Paella. He really nailed that.
Paella.
It's like paella, the Spanish rice.
Paella.
I'm betting on this right now.
I'm seeing, and I don't recall seeing this market offered as often, but they actually now offer point spread on the option here for gambling. Have you guys been dabbling at all with the point spread, or you just keep it with the money line? Because I'm seeing Paella.
You got it. You nailed it.
Paella. Paella. -5.5 on the point spread. So five round fight, right? Walk me through. Would you rather take the point spread or just the money line here?
So I like the point spread, but mostly because I just think he's going to win by knockouts. So yeah. The sort of the beauty of those ones is it basically bakes in the knockout into it, right? Which is already what I think he's going to do. But then it almost like safeguards you a little bit and some weird chance that this goes five rounds. He's got to win by 5 points total on the judges' scorecards, which just basically means he's got to win 49-46 on all the judges' scorecards, right? Because that's going to add up to 9.
So it's the combined.
He's only going to win by 3.
It's the combined
total. So like if he wins by one round on all 3 judges' scorecards, that's only 3. So then Jamal Hill would cover the 5. So, I've actually found that those wind up being a lot better in 3-round fights because you're seeing like +2.5 on those. And you're like, oh, this idiot can steal one round. And like, that's good enough for me. And then you get like big returns on underdogs. But like in this one, it's probably going to be a knockout anyway. So like, doesn't hurt to grab a couple extra bucks on that and like safeguard yourself against like a weird decision.
Yeah.
The knockout price looks like it's hovering between even money and +130. So I mean, you can juice it up a little bit, but you can go from that -130 to maybe some plus odds if that's what you like there for paella.
What do you make of the UFC scoring in general? I was actually hanging out with a guy who is a boxing. He is a boxing judge, and he was a very interesting character, very passionate about boxing, the state of boxing. And he was, you never hear from the judge's perspective. He's like, listen, I do a good job calling these fights. The problem is where, especially with boxing, that the boxing audience isn't educated enough to like realize how we should be scoring these. He's like, I'm right, but there's like, I have no voice to explain like why I scored it the way I scored it. I just have to like turn in my card and listen to everyone complain like, oh, he's got it so wrong, blah, 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 which I imagine be super frustrating.
Sounds like social media.
Yeah. And he can't discuss it on social media, obviously. But how does UFC overall handle the scoring? I guess that would be the thing that would scare me away of laying the points is you get one wonky judge in there and all of a sudden your -5.5 gets cooked.
Yeah, but if you're on the underdog, one wonky judge saves you that point spread too. To be fair, I would say in general, the judges are terrible. If I had to be honest, like the biggest problem with me is just like from fight to fight, you will see different guys emphasizing different things. So like one guy will really like that the guy is just blitzing forward the whole fight, and the other guy will not take that into account at all. One guy really loves takedowns, and the guy laying on top, the other guy was like, oh, he didn't do anything when he was there, so he doesn't get anything for that. So like it's just like weird inconsistencies. And to probably your buddy's point about boxing, you know, like you're judging one thing in boxing, right? Like you're judging whether or not that punch hit him in the head and if it hit him hard.
Yeah.
And in MMA, like you have to judge like, okay, well, was that choke close? And was that armbar close? And was all this other goofy stuff close? And like, yeah, that's really hard to do, but also like, shouldn't they all value the things in the right order? You know, like, shouldn't we have some sort of checklist here? And it doesn't seem like they do.
It would be like if an NFL official was like, no, I actually view holding as something different.
Yeah. To me, holding's a 20 yard penalty. Like, wait, what? You can't do that. It's like, no, this is how
that I was a really good field goal. Let's give them four.
Yeah. Hey, you know, this is how I ref. Take it or leave it. What about the co-main event? You got Zhang Weili versus Jan Shonan.
Nice work, Sean.
I feel like I got pretty close there.
Well, you got the walker in front of you.
Yes. Dan Gumby did help me out with the pronunciation. Shonan is currently a +370 dog. Weili is -485 coming back the other way. Any chance Shonan is a live dog here?
I don't think so. I'm like desperately trying to find a way to make these odds fun to play because like, I really like Zhang Weili. I think she's super fast. She's had no problems with anybody not named Rose Namajunas, which is like, you know, one of the great women fighters of all time. So like, she's never had any problems with anybody but her. So like, I think her grappling's better. I think she's faster. I think she hits harder. The problem is just like dialing in who or how she's going to win this one because she has just gone like boring 5-round decisions before. She's way better grappler than Yan Shaonan, which I don't think she's going to use here. I think maybe the only thing that is like kind of exciting to play is the knockout prop because she has knocked out people in like 45 seconds before, which you don't see a 115 pound woman do ever. You know, she knocked out Jessica Andrade, who's like, you know, pretty bad in the same sense. Like she's tough as hell and she still got knocked out in like 45 seconds. So like, the fact that she's got that knockout power at 115, maybe that makes the knockout prop like a little bit fun. But like in general, like you find a women's fight at -500, which is like kind of a variable situation already. I don't necessarily know that I'm interested in any of those lines.
What about the
a pass, but I'm a pass.
what about the total rounds? The total rounds are sitting at 3.5, overs -145, under 3.5, +114. I also saw a fight to go the distance prop. Is there, it sounds like you're saying knockout is in play. So maybe no on the fight to go to the distance. That was close to kind of even money. Any value there in the length of the fight here?
Yeah, if you were going to take that, I would probably just take the double chance on Weili Zhang's submission and knockout rather, because it's not like Yan Shaonan is going to knock her out. It's not like Yan Shaonan is going to win by submission. She had like 8 decisions in a row before she finally knocked somebody out. And like Zhang Weili is not going to be the second person she does it to in the UFC. So like if you're going to look for that, you might as well look for the double chance and just stay on one side to make sure that, you know, you're getting the best value out of that. But yeah, I could see like that just straight up inside the distance might be the better play. But like, I don't know. I think she has an advantage striking. She has a bigger advantage grappling, but I just don't think she's going to do it. Cause like, if you're punching somebody in the head and they don't seem to like it, why stop?
Yeah. That's a good strategy.
So yeah, inside the distance you can find +110.
Yeah.
So, okay. That feels like we've come to a consensus.
All right. It's a small little dog, a little value there.
And it's, I like that. Just the subtle correction there on the Weili versus Weili.
Hey, you know, that's Gumby is the professional. I'm the amateur here. Just trying to, you know, work my way up the ranks.
No, that's good. You're doing a great job.
Thank you, Ryan. Justin Gaethje versus Max Holloway.
Oh, we know him.
Yes. Max Holloway is a +136 dog. Gaethje -162. They're calling this the bad motherfucker title, which, all right, immediately I'm in for a fight called that. It was like Fight Island, even though it was exactly the same. Just the idea that they called it Fight Island, I'm like, yeah, I'm in. Fight Island, come on.
And it wasn't even an island.
No, it was like that. Yeah, it was like that Simpsons joke where it was like, oh, you're banished to Monster Island. Don't worry, it's just a name. And then they're getting attacked by monsters, and they go, I thought it was a name. They're like, yeah, it's actually a peninsula. Fight Island, it could have been something great. It turned out to just be regular fights during COVID with no crowd. But seems like relatively close odds wise. What do you like here, Gumby?
I think there's tons of value on Justin Gaethje. I also really like the fight to go the distance or the over. Like Max Holloway's never been knocked out in his whole life, and he's been in brawls, like knock him, drag him out brawls, and he just doesn't get knocked out. And like Justin Gaethje also, like, he's been knocked out twice in his UFC career. It was his second and third fight in the UFC. Damn. Those are the only times he's been knocked out. And since then, he's like just a little bit safer, like still crazy enough that like this fight is going to be fun as hell to watch, but like a little bit safer so that he doesn't get hit with stuff that's going to knock him out anymore. And so like, I think the fight's going to go the distance, A, but also like, as much as I love Max Holloway, I've always been a big Max Holloway fan. He came up to 155 pounds to fight Dustin Poirier not that long ago. And basically the thing was, is he could keep up with the speed. He could keep up with the volume. He could keep up with the five rounds. He just couldn't keep up with the power because guys up a weight class hit harder. And then when the judges saw his head getting snapped back on every single punch that got landed, he wound up losing the fight. And like Justin Gaethje hits harder than Dustin Poirier. So how is this fight going to go any better for him? And Justin Gaethje is also a Division I wrestler, although I think he forgot that. I think he forgot that he used to wrestle once in a while.
Yeah, you can grapple, dude. So come like, on.
He can. And he was an All-American too, which is the craziest thing. And like now he just boxes. But at the end of the day, I think this one goes 25 minutes. And I'm seeing that at like -125, which is not a bad line on that. And I think, you know, like you'll probably sweat the hell out of it because they're gonna throw bombs, but like they're both tough as hell, so I think it lasts.
Yeah, that's a way to sell an over. Like fight goes the distance, but you're gonna have to sweat it because they're trying to knock the shit out of each other. Okay, I'm in.
No, I mean, the bad motherfucker title's up for grabs. I like the idea of an over, maybe even parlayed with the Gaethje money line or whatever the easiest way to maybe Gaethje wins.
Inside the I would say that the UFC, the fights are the best for this, but they sometimes will have like the same bet a couple different ways, like knockout versus inside the distance decision or versus goes the distance. So goes the distance in this one. Gaethje to win by decision is 3-1.
I kind of like that. Now that's just an amateur handicapper, but at least the MMA. But what I like about it is, and again, I've been watching MMA for many years. I come in and out as far as like getting down on a bunch of action, but I feel like when there are two guys who are hyped up both as like tough guys, inevitably it goes the distance to your point where like no one wants to get knocked out and they know that like they're going to be trying to throw haymakers, but also like these guys are smart enough not to leave themselves exposed. I think it will go to the distance, and I like Gaethje overall to like get the edge there. So him to win by decision, I think is a pretty fun bet, especially if you're getting that juicy of plus odds.
And I've been noticing that both of these, like all the fights now offer some form of either fighter to get points deducted in like the 20 to 40-1 range.
Love
so
it.
You really can get into some fun action here. All right. So I'm
root for a dick kick. You got to root for a dick kick.
Yeah. Just those, that or a bony elbow. I think I'm taking the over here. Official.
The over looks pretty good there. So over 4.5 rounds, yeah. Ryan.
Yeah. I Max Holloway is one of those fighters. I'll pull a Benedict. If I went against him, I'd immediately start rooting for him once I start watching.
Yeah. He's a hard guy not to, to your point,
like you said, we're not real fans of MMA. So when it's on, it's just, I'm rooting for chaos.
Yes.
He fits the bill of like, who was that old guy? Clay Guida is another, falls in that category.
Oh, I love Clay Guida.
Didn't matter. And like, there were a couple of times I accidentally bet against him and it's like, shit.
Yeah. There are those guys where immediately when the fight starts, you're like, you find yourself rooting for the other guy and you're like, oh shit, I'm rooting against my bet.
Benedict.
All right, we got some prelim talk coming up, even a little ladder action. But before we do that, shout out to Unified. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being, proper recovery for top-notch performance. I mean, UFC 300, can you imagine the recovery process after going through a UFC fight? I can only imagine what that's like. Thankfully, Unified is here to help. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by the Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in LA or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to the center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/SGPN to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/SGPN. No materials or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System. All right, Gumby, last time we had you on, and I forget if that's if it was VSIN or here on the podcast, it all runs together. Of course, check us out on the podcast or check us out on VSIN every Friday night, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock East. You gave out a ladder that came through. So again, once you give out one ladder, our audience gets hooked and they're dying to climb up another ladder. Do you have a ladder possibly in the prelims that you like for UFC 300?
Yeah, you guys were just mentioning, guys that you have to love. And Jim Miller is a guy who I have to love. The guy's been around for a billion years. We're talking like 30, I think this is 36th fight for him at the 37th fight for him at this point, grinder, which is just insane. And in this fight, he's a plus 150 underdog. He's won five of his last six. Already love the money line. So I looked at the money line and I was like, but he's won five of his last six and he's finished all five of those dudes who he's beaten. So let's go. Immediately look to the finish prop, and you can get, you start it at plus 150. You're up to plus 275 on the inside the distance. But here's the one I really like and why I wanted to go all the way up the ladder with Jim Miller. He fought at UFC 100 and won by decision. He fought at UFC 200 and won by submission. They brought him back for UFC 300.
That's amazing.
Oh, wow. He's won three of his last five fights by knockout. He's the guy he's about to fight just got knocked out in December. His brain is still rattling around in his head, Bobby Green.
Love
and
it.
Jim Miller by knockout is plus 550.
Okay. Let's
at
go.
UFC 300.
Let's go.
Okay. Da, da, da.
Love it. Jim Miller on the money line.
These bastards have it boxed. They're not letting me put Jim Miller with the under. I'll have to find another way.
Jim Miller to finish in the distance, and then Jim Miller to win by knockout. I love
it. The guy fought at UFC 100 and 200.
That's crazy.
How's his brain?
Is he the only? Is he the only guy that fought at 100 and 200 as well?
So 100 and 200 only had him and Brock Lesnar. They were the only repeats. And now he's obviously back for 300 and Brock Lesnar is in hiding right now. that's obviously, better for him. And also like in the middle of this dude's got the wildest story. In the middle of this, the dude got Lyme disease and just fought through Lyme disease while hiding still in the process. Dog. Yeah. And he's like, like a hunter from New Jersey with like the full camo gear on all the time. Like, he's a dude who you like have to love watching fight. And now he's like 40 years old and still knocking out like young dudes. So like, why not get in on him by knockout plus 550? And he's a guy you have to root for anyway.
Love it. What the fuck? He went. This is
we got breaking news, right?
Well, he went to Virginia Tech. This is relatively shout out Sparta Township in New Jersey, but he is a Hokie. I know exactly who this is now. Gumby, you've made my day. I'm going to put an irrational amount of money on this. Just found the props. We're going all in. Let's go, Jim.
Well, Miller. And perfect time to transition to some underdog fantasy talk. Of course, promo code SGPN gets you the 100% deposit match up to $100, $300. They obviously have a ton of UFC 300 higher lowers. I just was clicking around on UFC 300. They have Jim Miller. It is a spicy play.
Oh, let's go.
Higher a half knockout. So we have to get down.
Let's go.
We have to get down on that. Now, I'm putting you on the spot here, but you've already given out some other plays you like decision wise. Is there another, they have a lot of the knockout submission. Is there another one we should maybe pair with Jim Miller on the UFC 300 card? Maybe could be the prelims, main event, whatever you think would be fun to pair with Jim Miller, Gumby.
You know, I think, you know, if you're looking for a spicy one, there's probably some decent ones in there. But the one that sticks out to me that like everybody should throw in to just make their underdog fantasy entry a little bit better is I can't imagine Justin Gaethje gets less than 119.5 significant strikes.
Oh,
that's the line they got on Gaethje in there right now. That's the projection. And like for me, I just told you, I think they're going to fight for 25 minutes. And when Jeff was talking to me about this, when we were getting ready for our show, he's like, he lands seven punches a minute, 25 minutes. That's 175 punches. Like, that's not a number to clear at 119, unless you think the fight's going to end in three rounds. Like, and I don't, like, I just said, I thought it was going to go five. So, you know, 119.5 seems like foolish.
Ryan, I just put it in. All you had to say was higher on the significant strikes. And while you were giving the breakdown, I was already firing away. So Jim Miller higher a half knockouts, put together with Justin Gaethje higher 119.5 significant strikes. $100 entry brings you back 975. So that is. And again, it could be a free $100 entry if you use the promo code SGPN, underdogfantasy.com. So that's going to be super fun. Love that one, Ryan.
What if I added in paella?
Oh, you can. I mean, you can go nuts. No. When you have the Jim Miller spicy knockout, that pairs with a lot. So.
Oh, interesting. They offer fight time in minutes projections. That's fun.
Love it.
That's fun. All right. I just way too much money on UFC 300.
So oh, it's great.
This is excellent.
This is why we bring Gumby on. He gets and UFC is one of those things. Like once they start talking about it and like breaking it down, I'm like, oh yeah, it really does.
We don't do it enough.
Get you psyched for the fight. Awesome to have you on. Any other fights or action that we haven't given out that you think people should be aware of?
I'm a really big on Alexander Rejcic this week. He's fighting former champion Jiří Procházka. You know, I've been like fading guys who have had their heads bounced off the mat like a super ball recently. And that seems to be working really well for me because it turns out when you get concussed once, that doesn't make it harder to get you concussed the second time, as maybe some NFL players have learned.
Yes.
So like, you know, it was somewhat recently knocked out. And now they're just going to run him in there with another guy who will knock him out. And I think Rejcic, you know, has all the power to do that. And in addition to that, probably has a grappling advantage too. That one's like, it's been hovering around a pick 'em pretty much since it opened, which is kind of crazy to me. So I thought that was a great line. And then I also like Calvin Kattar. Calvin Kattar's a big Boston guy, which I'm automatically going to pick because he's from the Northeast. But in addition to that, he's fighting Aljamain Sterling, who's coming up a weight class and pretty much like relies on his grappling. And Calvin Kattar hasn't given up a takedown in five fights. So like if you're a good boxer and haven't given up a takedown in five fights, the best thing in the world for you is to see an 135-pound grappler coming up to your weight class to try to take you down. Because like, what chance does he have? So, and Kattar's weirdly an underdog in that fight. So that's another one I had circled is one of my favorite ones.
Love it. Love it. We need to, now I think we need to figure out, you know, ladder is a great term. It is universal. The NASCAR gambling guys came up with the car lift. I feel like we need to come up with, you know, maybe it's climbing the chain link octagon. Doesn't
top,
really
the top rope.
Top mean, rope.
It's
top
not really rope, a maybe. Rope though. But
yeah, that's kind of a wrestling
going to the
thing.
Top rope.
But that's your homework, Gumby. You and the MMA gambling.
They do use
you
a ladder Jeff. Sometimes.
Yeah, you know? They do. Well, we just got to figure out like what is the UFC equivalent? Because I love the Jim Miller stuff. The underdog entry. Kramer. Let's do a lock and a dog for me. Oh man, this is tough. But I think
lock is paella.
Paella.
Yep.
On the money line is lock.
I have a NFL against the spread size bet on this guy. So.
And then for me, I'll go dog. Gaethje by decision plus 300, and then of course the underdog entry you put together is obviously a pretty big dog as well. So for me, lock. I'm with you. On the Perea minus 130 money line, dog. Give me Gaethje by decision. What's your dog, Ryan?
Dog will be Jim Miller. Just the straight money line. When Josh whips up the graphic, make sure you have a Jim Miller ladder in there. I'm inside the different distance. I'm knockout.
Let's go.
Sean only let me give out two, but I'm also on the over in the Holloway. And then unrelated to our guest, I had a tip on Rachich. So is that how you Rachich? Yeah. Alexander Rachich. Yeah. So we're on that together. I was able to find -110. So I was hearing a lot of confidence for some guys that are very close to even money this weekend. So
love it.
Looks like I'll be watching and sweating out some fights after the UFL on Saturday night, Sean.
Gumby, give the audience. You gave out a bunch of good stuff. Excited for the fights. Excited to hop in. Check out all the UFC 300 content over on the MMA Gambling Podcast channel. They're up on YouTube, Spotify, wherever you get your pods. Give them a follow as well on X. Over at MMA Gambling Pod, I believe, SGPN MMA is the handle for the show. Check them out. Jeff and Gumby do a great job. But you got a lock and a dog for UFC 300.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Pineda too. I think Pineda is the guy who, I mean, like, I just can't believe it is. It's the line where it is. And then for my dog, I'm going to go with the guy I said before. I'm going to go with Calvin Kattar. I think on the prelims, I always like throwing my hand in with a Boston guy, but the fact that he's welcoming a guy to a new division who is going to be a little bit undersized and desperately needs a takedown for me is enough for that.
Nice. Love it. Love it. Let's go. Shout out to the chat. Chat was fired up. You can tell people are getting fired up for UFC 300.
I know you recommended all these things people should do to listen to more of Gumby, but yes, they should also check out the Discord.
Oh yeah.
Highly
on fight night, especially these guys
the
are
fight channel is one of the I don't want to call it a holy grail. One of the, definitely one of the things you want to get in Discord for. That and hockey, I would say. Even if you've never bet on either of them, yeah, hop in there.
Just hop in. Sit
more,
back.
It's more of a vibe.
Yeah, it is. It's a fun, you know, I'm probably a lurker in some of those channels where I'm just like, I can't even keep up sometimes with the chatter, Fast and Furious.
That's how I can check in on Jeff Fox without having to talk to Jeff directly.
And certainly tell Jong in the Discord, we heard of your legend, and ask him if he's friends with Ipe. I say there's like a 20% chance.
I'm gonna maybe I'll make a special role for Jong. Call him the translator.
Oh yes, I love it. And they always do a hungry man Jong parlay because he loves a long shot parlay. A bunch of great reasons. Check out the MMA Gambling Podcast.
Thank you for participating in the Sports Gambling Podcast.
For Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean at Stacking the Money Green. He's Ryan.
UFC 300, man.
Kramer, let it ride.